We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
From Illinois Public Media, this is Focus on WILL 580 AM and online at will.illinois.edu. Good morning. I'm Celeste Quinn. Glad you could join us today for Focus. Harriet Williamson is the program's producer, our technical director this morning, Jason Croft. And back in the studio with us, dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm. Carol and Jim are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they join us on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs. Your questions about dog care, behavior, and training are invited. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. Toll-free, 800-222-9455. You may also join us by email, will-talk@illinois.edu. Good morning. It's been so long since I've seen you.
Yes.
Since August.
That's correct. That is a long time.
We skipped September, and Tom Rogers was here, I believe, in
October. And I hope you had a pleasant vacation.
I had a wonderful vacation.
That's good.
We did. Thank you very much. So I hope you are well. The two of you look wonderful.
You really did miss us, didn't you?
You look, it's more important to look good
on
than
radio
to feel good.
Oh.
And you look marvelous.
So I just wanted our listeners to know.
Oh, well, thank you,
Celeste.
The
guests look marvelous.
We did all gush over one another when we came in, didn't we?
A little bit. So I wanted to mention for people who are fond of dogs and who are people who are curious about dogs, there is a wonderful program coming up next week on our companion station, WILL-TV. It is Dogs Decoded, and it will be on the program Nova, and it will air on our companion television station at 7 p.m. And the program description, Dogs Decoded, reveals the science behind the remarkable bond between humans and their dogs and investigates new discoveries in genetics that are illuminating the origin of dogs with surprising implications for the evolution of human culture.
Excellent. What day is that, Celeste?
Tuesday, November 9th at 7 p.m., Nova.
Did she say that already?
Probably.
Bears repeating.
I'm scratching at a scab on my hand here, so I'm paying a lot of attention.
See, nice visual, everyone.
So I got my event out of the way here.
I'll have to DVR that to make sure that I don't miss it.
What's coming up at the dog training club?
Oh, you know, it's just amazing
how
fast the time goes. I mean, the fact that it's even November is astonishing. Next Friday night, the 12th, we're having a run-through for obedience.
A match. A rally and obedience.
Match. Which is free to members of the dog training club and free to class participants. If you're neither one of those, it's only $5. And it's a great, fun event in preparation for our obedience trial, which is the 20th and 21st of November. Now, the entries have closed for that. It's an AKC event, and entries usually close 2 weeks prior. But if you're looking for something to do that's kind of fun and interesting, then that's where the place to be is, on the 20th and 21st at our dog training club facility.
Now, how many people will participate in that?
I was just looking at the entries. We're doing rally and obedience, and I believe, I think Saturday and Sunday, it's 51 and 58 in rally. I can't recall the number. There'll be a fair amount of dogs there, and exhibitors from all over the Midwest, too. Mm.
So I suppose if someone was interested in welcoming a dog into the household, might be a nice event to go and check it out.
It would be nice
to
see
what people can do and what you want to aim for.
It's just one venue, but it's one that people can identify with.
Get a look at a number of breeds, I would suppose.
Yeah, there'll be a fair amount there.
Let's see, Border Collies and what else?
Golden Retrievers. We just crack each other up.
It's a dog training joke.
Okay.
No, but you'll see a lot of Shelties as well. And actually, now that
few Malamutes.
Now that the American Kennel Club has expanded their showing privileges to dogs of mixed breeds or unknown heritage, then anybody can enter. Anybody. I could work with Andy and enter her in an AKC obedience or a rally event or anything except confirmation. So that would include agility. Now, I have no excuses left. I guess I better get out and do something with her. But that took place earlier this year, that change. And I think it still needs, there's still a need for the public to recognize that. And to go to the AKC website, you can read about it. And I believe that we have a link on our page as well. But all dogs are eligible to play. No more AKC breeds, restrictions. Mm-mm. All dogs can play.
Yeah.
So, and that's good.
That is good.
It's very good. Because I'm, you know, I've always had a mixed breed dog too. And your venue for showing the dogs are somewhat limited. You can, you know, you don't really have to enjoy them, but it's kind of fun to show everybody what you've accomplished and what you can accomplish. And so now it's open to everybody can play the game.
That reminds me that next week is National Animal Shelter Appreciation Week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Speaking of all dogs, because there you'll find all manner of dogs.
Oh, I think last week the shelter had the most beautiful black Great Dane. Beautiful dog. All the dogs are beautiful. But people never really, I don't think of the shelter as their first resource for finding a purebred dog, when in fact the opposite is very true. The 17th of November, the Humane Society is sponsoring an event on the quad. It's called Pennies for Puppies. And it started last year, and the kids could come out and the students could come and pet one of the dogs, an own dog. Last year they raised $1,700.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, because kids just, they kept paying, I think it was $5, over and over to spend time with that dog. And it was well beyond what I expected, I'll be honest.
Well, why don't you put your headphones on and we'll talk with a listener. This is Focus. My name is Celeste Quinn, and dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm are with us this morning there with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. Listeners, you can join us with a phone call or by email. The phone number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455, and the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. Our first listener to call in this morning is waiting for us on line one in Urbana. Hi.
Hi, thank you. I was wondering how old is too old for a dog to start the, not the obedience classes, but say if she was going to participate in, I guess you call them rallies, or I don't know much about it, but I've seen them, seen them on TV where the dogs go through these various courses and
You're talking about agility is what you've seen.
Oh, agility. Mm-hmm. And so there's another one that's
she
obedience, I guess. Is that
well there's a, there's several components to mm-hmm. I don't want to call them obedience venues, but you've got your obedience competition that starts at the very basic of novice and goes through utility dog excellent. And you can see that at our show, by the way.
Right.
That we're having. There's Rally, which is, I think you mentioned Rally when you started to talk. Uh-huh. It is a course, and the dog and the handler perform certain exercises within a certain period of time, and like
uh-huh.
walking in circles, lying down, jumping.
Okay.
And then there's agility, which is more commonly seen on television, and that's where the dog and the handler run a course, where they go up the teeter-totter and the frame and myriad jumps and weaves.
Right,
so for all those venues, you have to have some basic obedience background, however.
Sure, right. I imagine they start out in the obedience classes, and then if those mm-hmm. go well, they kind of work their way up if they're enjoying it. Right. Well, I wondered, we have a 3.5-year-old, I think, Shepherd Collie mix, and I'm sure you must hear this a lot, but she's an amazing dog. She's so smart and is just so alert. And I've seen some of these different dog activities, and I think, you know, wow, she would love doing that because she's always looking for something to do, I think, to use her brain. Life around our house is not quite, you know, that challenging, a little, but not so challenging that I think she uses so much of her brain, and I think she's always looking for something interesting to do. And I just wondered, is 3 and a half too late to start
I took up the guitar when I was 55, I think.
And how are you doing at that now there, Jim?
I'm making progress. 3 and a half is fairly young, as a matter of fact.
I meant more from a physical point of view.
Yeah.
I guess I was thinking about the things I'd seen on TV, and that I didn't want to whatever, if hurt her back or something, if she should have started younger or something.
No. Regular obedience, first level obedience anyway, has no jumping at all. Mm-hmm. And first level rally has no jumping at all.
Okay.
But a 3.5-year-old dog should not have any problems unless they were kind of born with them.
Okay.
Before you would start jumping your dog, you'd at least want to have their hips checked. A lot of people will, agility people, because the dogs do so much jumping, will check their hips and their elbows. Because, you know, they jump with their hips, but they land with their front legs. So they'll have those checked. But for first-level obedience and for most of rally, even in rally, there is a jump when you get more advanced, but it's not a very high jump.
Okay, yeah. Some of those jumps on TV, I worry a little bit. I'm sure they know what they're doing, but I remember hearing years ago that say, like, your dog jumping up very much or whatever, it can be hard on their back. Maybe they've changed.
It's more landing. You know, it wasn't the fall that killed them. It was the sudden stop. It's mostly jumping. You know, if their hips are okay, it's not a problem jumping. It's when they come down, there's a lot of force on the front end. Uh-huh. And the dogs are really built for it. It's not like it's a problem.
Okay.
But if the dog has congenital problems, or if it older dogs might develop arthritis or something like that. And when I say older, I'm talking about 10 years old or something like that.
Right. We have an older dog with arthritis, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, but a 3 and a half, you know, they're virtually in the prime of life. And you might want to have – if you don't have to have their hips checked to do basic obedience or rally. But, you know, if you're all dressed up and at the vet's, you could have the vet check that.
Right.
On our website, our website has a very nice graphic that shows the succession of classes that you would take, and then it branches off into the more diverse classes. But you can see that, you know, a home companion class is the basis for everything. And, and so it's a good graphic that people find quite useful.
And that would be under just if I just type in dog training club of
we're right there.
Right. Okay. Great. All right. And if you could just mention again what the dates were for your events that are coming up. Thanks very much.
You're very welcome. And we'll mention that again a little bit later in the show. Very good.
We'll do.
When animals with the animals aging, I know that we're at a point in. Our cat's life, he's going to be 10, and, you know, we've already made a dietary change. So as animals age, there are dietary changes that you could make. Are there also supplements that they could take like humans do for...
Glucosamine.
Yeah.
Glucosamine, chondroitin. Some of your dog foods have... a therapeutic value of that, but I don't think most do.
Mm-hmm.
You just see it on there, and that's good. You can supplement it. That's about all I can think of. I would always go to my vet first, because something that we might think is doing them very good isn't. And the only way we can tell that is through some blood work And if they're in pain, what do you think, Jim?
Well, we have right now, because so many of our old dogs have passed away this year, we've got one guy, he's 11, and he has, I don't want to say serious, but he's having difficulty in his rear. We're giving him chondroitin cherry pills.
And those are what?
They're just, you get them at the drugstore, just pills that have cherry.
Red pills?
They're
That's descriptive.
Well, like cherry extract or
cherry
something?
Cherry extract, I don't know. Yeah.
What does that do?
It helps with inflammation.
Okay.
In fact, I was reading online a thing for marathon runners, and one of the secrets that they had was they drink cherry juice, and it reduces inflammation.
Oh.
And there are commercial.
Kind of like cranberry.
Are you going to let me talk?
Like cranberry pills and
interrupting me.
Urinary issues.
Something like that.
Okay.
Now I've lost my train of thought.
Oh,
cherry pills.
There are commercial. There are commercial anti-inflammatories that you get either through the vet. Mm-hmm. And you're right. You check with the vet. Mm-hmm. There are. Supplements, and we're giving, I forgot what the commercial product we're giving him, but it also reduces inflammation.
Is it Osteobiflex? I know a lot of people use that.
We're giving him chondroitin and the cherry and this other stuff. Mm.
I know that with our previous cat, Frisbee, we actually got treats that we purchased at the vets that had a little bit of this or that in there that were meant to for older cats that would, you know, be good for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he
But 10 years for a cat is like middle-aged.
I know. But still.
But still,
the
yes.
The food that we get, it's mature, so it's 7 years and older.
For an elderly dog, mm-hmm. And it's probably what, I'd say 11, 12 and up, people may notice they start following you around the house, it's kind of a dementia in the dog. They just feel safer around you, and they recognize you, and things are getting a little strange to them. So, but people may notice that. My dog keeps every time I go to a different room, they come with me. Well, that's just the dog getting old and wanting to stay with you. A little bit of canine dementia. There's nothing you can do
about
it.
There's no pill for that.
No, there's nothing you can do about it. Tempus fugit. Mm.
This is Focus. This morning our guests are Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, I invite you to join us this morning with a phone call or by email. Your questions about dog care, behavior, and training are invited. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Toll free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. And the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu.
I want to do a little bragging.
Please.
Can I?
Yes,
May
I want to hear every minute of it.
Okay. We went to the Malamute National Specialty last month in Denver. It was a week-long event. A specialty is a dog show with only one breed. And in this case, it was Malamutes, at the national confirmation judging. And there were actually two specialties, a regional specialty and the national specialty, all in the same week. But at the national, a dog we bred and placed with some friends of ours was best of winners. And since nobody knows what that means, when you're at a dog show, roughly the dogs are divided by those dogs that are already champions and those that aren't. And those that aren't are divided by sex. And then they compete within the sexes in the various classes, and then the winners of that compete with each other, and that's what our dog won. So she was judged the best of the non-champions there that day. Although when she won, she became a champion because she just needed a few points and she got them. It's a big honor to have it.
And a specialty, it's huge.
And she's an all-white Malamute, which is not rare, but it's unusual because generally they're not shown. And so she was the first female all-white dog to take the points at a national.
And didn't Tommy do that,
Tommy
too?
Tommy didn't, but his uncle Frosty did.
Okay. Tommy was white. And Frosty,
Tommy
guess.
Was beautiful.
Tommy was gorgeous.
Tommy was the first all-white male Malamute to finish an AKC championship in breed history. And, well, I say there have been five all-white champions since 1935 in Malamutes, and we have bred three of them.
That's pretty
wow.
remarkable.
That's my brag.
That's a huge
congratulations.
Brag. Oh, I remember we were at the Chicago shows, the international shows in February, and Jim and Robin were set up right around the corner from me, and Tommy was like a chick magnet. Every time I'd walk over there, there he was up on the table, and Jim was so proud of him because he was a beautiful dog. But people were enthralled with this dog because he was all white. They didn't know what he was, consequently. So Jim got to acquaint people with the varieties of appearance within the Malamute breed. But
he was good with crowds, too.
He was great with people.
He was not afraid of people. He loved people. He would give them their paw. And, of course, he was a huge dog.
Yeah.
And he was so charming, but just such a beautiful face.
Yeah, and he could sit on the – we kept him on a table because he'd knock the kids over because he was so big, just wanting to play with them. So I kept him on the table, and he just greeted everybody. He was
I'd peek around the corner now and then, and I could barely see Jim or the dog because I'm serious – there are a throng of people around him all the time.
Well, do you remember years and years ago we went to the farmer's market, the three of us?
Yes.
With Tommy?
Where Tommy cracked my table.
Oh,
remember?
Yeah.
I fixed it myself. It still works fine.
Oh, great.
Yeah, we were at the farmer's market. I didn't bring anybody, I don't think, did I?
No.
I don't know.
I didn't.
We just had Tommy there.
Yeah.
Luckily, it was a cool,
it was a beautiful day.
Cool day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We should do that again. That was great fun.
Yeah. We don't have to bring the microphones or anything.
No,
we next
just
time.
Be there.
We just go.
Sure.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
Yeah, because we broadcast from there, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we could do that. That would be a nice little educational piece for people in the community.
How often does the shelter get out at the market or rescue groups?
I think they were doing it once
a
month, but they didn't bring animals. They... I don't believe they did.
Because I know I've seen rescue groups.
Rescue groups have been there. This summer was so odd because it could be beautiful and then like blazing hot in a heartbeat. And that's just not a good situation. But they, our shelter, the Champaign County Humane Society, was there once a month. And they will be at the market at the square when it moves indoors. They'll be there selling all those just great things for pets and for people, scarves and toys. As a matter of fact, since we're talking about that, they will also, the Champaign County Humane Society will have a booth at Kris Kringle, which opens today, and that will be at Assembly Hall. It's from 3 to 9 today, and I can't remember the times tomorrow, but it's for people that like those kinds of things, those crafty shows.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty huge, very huge, but we do well there.
Yeah. It's hard to believe we're nearing the end of the year.
I know. That's why I was looking at my calendar. I kept thinking this can't be November, but it is. Yeah, and Kris Kringle is awaited eagerly by many each year. I haven't succumbed to that, but that's okay.
I think even on Halloween night, but certainly on Monday, they started the Christmas advertising on TV.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's better than political commercials, in my opinion, so I'm not going to complain.
Well, as long as we're talking about the time of year, and we've seen a big change in the weather now, anything you want to remind folks about in terms of caring for animals in the
cold? Yeah,
in
be
the
cognizant
cold?
Of the fact that, I think, what was it this morning, 28, I think? That's pretty cold, and if you have a smooth-coated or a small dog with a small coat, with a short coat, don't leave them out there for 15 or 20 minutes. Let them acclimate a bit as well. Even though I've got Jim's dogs, we all know, love this weather. Mine are okay with it, but I wouldn't want to sit outside in 20 minutes in the morning. I think you can accomplish what you need to do quickly and then bring them back in.
I think the big thing for this cooler weather, fortunately, it's not as dangerous as hot weather, but dogs... will dehydrate a lot faster than you realize in this weather because the relative humidity is going down. And it doesn't bother us. It feels pleasant to us. But you have to make sure that they have water, even though the temperature is cooler. Now, obviously, when it's hot, you want to make sure they have water as well. But I think people think that, well, it's not as hot. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't need as much water. But they're still dehydrating.
See, I leave my water bowls out 24/7 with fresh, clean water. I empty them in the morning, refill them, empty in the evening and refill them. Because it's just disgusting to think that they'd have to drink out of, you know, icky water.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to drink a glass of water that had been sitting there.
You don't like
day
the term icky
out?
Water?
No, well, several images of things my dogs have lapped up, you know, over the years.
I know.
You'd
okay.
be surprised what dogs
so
would drink.
So in a utopian world, we would leave fresh, clean water out for our dogs, and we can't control some of the
Even
things.
Even give it a choice. Sometimes they go, oh, here's a... puddle of who knows what. I think I'll drink this, and right next to it is
bacteria.
Clean, fresh water.
But no, I think that's important. I never understood why some people feel it necessary to restrict their water intake. Now, there are some conditions where dogs will drink an inordinate amount of water. And I remember having one that came through Golden Rescue that I placed, and great dog. He'd been tied outside his whole life, and consequently, he would knock over his water constantly. Then he never had any more water until somebody saw fit to fill it again. So he developed this
UTI.
No, he would drink if you gave him a cup of water or half a gallon of water.
He didn't know when
he didn't know when his next water would come. So he would drink nonstop and fast. And we worked with that and helped him understand that there would always be water for him. Now, that doesn't mean you sit down and have it heart to heart. It's just, you know, always making certain that those needs were met.
Yeah.
And then to give him water in perhaps smaller quantities because, you know, take water in, water comes out.
I think you make a good point, too, that if you keep the water at a certain level, you can monitor the dog's water intake, which is, you know, one way of telling if the dog is healthy. Either they drink too little water or they drink too much. And especially too much indicates urinary tract infections, kidney problems, things like that.
Diabetes. You know, cats have that problem with not drinking enough water.
Mm-hmm. Or when they drink too much, you know you have a problem.
Yeah, but I thought it was interesting. I've read a few things about the moving water fountains for cats to drink from, and they're more stimulated to drink the adequate amount of water that they need because it's moving and it stays fresh. And I thought, yeah, if I were to get a cat again, I would make sure I did that because it's just better for them.
Yeah. Well, those of us who have cats or have had cats, well, we can tell stories about them jumping up onto the bathroom counter and sitting and, you know, trying to get a couple of drips of water from the tap or... You know, so that's a...
Or from the commode.
And dogs, on the other hand, I don't think are as fond of that, or those ones that glug as another big thing of water comes through. They don't like that. They get accustomed to it, but I don't think it's their preference to have moving water.
Well, it's funny you tell the story about the dog that thought he was never going to see another bowl of water, so he better, you know, get that in. The cat we have now, Butch, we would feed him a couple times a day, but it seemed like he would just scarf it down. And what we did, and this almost was counterintuitive, but we got him one of these things that the food comes down as the food is eaten. He's fine now, but he would just gulp that food down and then... You know, on a number of occasions, he'd toss it right back up again. And I was like, gee, what's
well,
this
it's just,
about?
It's just, he doesn't realize that he's being dispensed food whenever. He's just now realized there is food available
there is,
to him.
So,
our cat doesn't like the food we make available. It's like, no, don't like that. Don't like that.
How is your little kitty doing?
She's doing fine. We have the puppies that kind of keep her out of the house. But actually, Mom doesn't really care. I think she's just afraid of the puppies don't know what she is. And here she is and these six things that are bigger than she is start running at her. Going, rah, 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 rah. So she hightails it out of the house.
This is the same little cat that you found on your porch or something?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure somebody abandoned her out by our house because we get a lot of strays out there. And she's just a lovely cat. And I'm sure she's been spayed because she's never come in heat. And very friendly. And within a week, I think, of us finding her, she was in the bedroom sleeping with us and having a jolly old time.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. You ever think of getting another cat, Carol?
Yeah, I occasionally do.
Yeah.
I do. But the cat that I had for 20 years, and there's no comparison.
Right,
Once in a while, I'll see one that just kind of... But I think cats are one of the species that people choose more for their appearance than their personality. And maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Dogs, people, you know, they either know what they want or there's a certain tug or there's an appeal or it behaves so well and good natured. But I think cats are chosen by...
Really?
Striking the... Yeah, I don't... Maybe I'm wrong, but I what is it that makes you stop and want in front of a cat and decide that this is the one you want to adopt? When you don't have the opportunity to interact with a cat as much, perhaps.
Well,
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. It's just...
When we adopted Frisbee at the shelter many, many years ago now, he reached out and...
Oh, yeah. That gets you every time, doesn't it?
Touched me on the hand, and I was like, well, let's go to the acquainted room. And so he was just a lot of fun. And then when we adopted Butch, you said something that was really useful, Carol. You said, well, adopt a cat that looks very different from Frisbee. And so there was this nice older gray, dark gray cat. And so I said, well, let's take a look at Butch. And then he was so endearing. You know, he was just so sweet. So
yeah, older cats tend to get overlooked when there are a lot of kittens about.
Yeah, older cats are great because
they are.
They're very calm.
Like older dogs.
Like older
and
dogs.
Older people.
And well, exactly, yes. senior citizens. Yeah.
Okay. I think that the only concern I have about bringing a cat home, and it's unfounded and it's just speculative, I don't think that my doodle would recognize that as another family member.
Mm.
She has a strong prey drive, and I certainly
very religious dog, is it?
I certainly couldn't bring a kitten in the house because she would, I don't think she'd hurt it, but I don't know. So why would I, you know, I think about it and I think, you know, Andy's never known a cat and why upset the nice
balance, right.
Karma that I've got in my house now by bringing a cat in and then living through perhaps nothing or perhaps drama every day. And so... You know how dramatic cats can be. So I just thought, oh, you know, there's a time and a place for everything, and just right now is not the time.
Jim, did I interrupt you? You were
no.
You were going to say something else about the cat? No? Okay.
Everybody's interrupting me today. It's
somebody that
sits Jim
and
day.
Picks a scab on his hand doesn't deserve a lot of respect.
Well, I just noticed it. It's from the puppies.
Oh, okay. You know, then it's okay.
They keep scratching my hand.
Do you have any pictures of them, by the way?
Yeah, I have a lot of pictures of them. They're still in the camera.
Oh, okay.
I got to download them and... Send them to all our friends.
We have an email question.
Uh-oh.
Yay.
Someone would like to learn how to keep a dog from jumping up.
There
jumping
you go, Jim.
On people and on counters.
Well, we teach them to jump up but not to go back down. No, that's impossible. You can't teach a dog not to do something. You can only teach a dog to do something. So... If you want them not to jump up on people, let's say, then you teach them to do something incompatible, and usually it's sit. So you get a very strong sit with, you know, train them, sit till they really understand it. I have found when I teach beginning classes, say, how many people have trained their dog to sit? And everybody raises their hand because it's kind of a basic thing. I say, okay, tell your dogs to sit. And they'll go, sit, 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 sit. The dog doesn't know how to sit. And sooner or later, it sits.
He knows how. He doesn't acquaint it with a word.
Well, they get tired and they sit. And they, yeah. Oh, yeah, I said sit 30 times and it finally sat. What I mean is teach the dog to sit on one command, say sit, and the dog sits. And then have people come up, and of course the dog's going to want to get up, and you gently say, no, sit. Good dog. And that's how you teach a dog not to jump. How to teach them not to go on counters. And I assume they mean like food counters mm-hmm. or
the dining room. No, restaurant counters, Jim.
No, thank you. Carol's learning from me. She's growing.
I don't think that's good.
Yeah, well, that's a tough problem because when you train a dog, usually you and the dog are in the same room. Now you're trying to train a dog to do something when the dog's all alone. Very difficult. I've seen on the internet some woman in England, I forgot her name, employed a webcam or some sort of camera and a microphone, thank you, audio phone and a speaker. So the dog would jump on the counter and they could see it, of course. They go, Fido, get down. And the dog's going, where did that voice come from? How did they know I was
I would
here?
Do the same thing.
And that's one way to do it. I've thought of trying something similar, and they seem to have some success with it. Of course, I'm trying to figure out, well, if they got this camera crew following the dog around, maybe the dog's reacting to that. But it's very difficult to train the dog not to jump up. Much easier not to leave stuff on the counter.
Yeah, that
the dog can
sadly,
get.
Sadly, that's true.
And I've been, I've had dogs all my life. I'm told, even before I was born, the family had a dog. And we just had some puppies, and mom feeds the puppies, but now they're getting older, so we're giving the puppies food. And 100% of the time this week, because Robin's laid up in the hospital after some surgery, I'm taking care of everybody. So I put the food down for the puppies. I let mom in, and I forget. So she eats the food. So I put the food on the counter. This is
and
after,
how long you been in this?
This is
game
after
there, Jim?
60 years of being with dogs, and the counter, you know, that she just knocks it on the floor and eats it, she's done that 5 times now, and I haven't figured it
Rob
out.
Rob has only been in the hospital since Wednesday.
I haven't figured it out yet, so it's a tough problem. And the best thing to do is don't leave anything where the dog can get it. Alternately, keep the dog out of the kitchen.
And that's not very viable.
That's not easy. And the best thing I think to do is to give the dog a Kong or whatever those, mm-hmm. A toy that occupies the dog's time while you're away. And combining that with not leaving anything out. I had a dog that used to rip up my shirts all the time. And the reason was I used to hang my shirts on the floor. So the dog could get up. And Robin would say, well, yeah, I told you. And she did.
Did the dog?
I never learned.
You never learned?
The dog, well, it was a combination of the dog and the cat. The cat would run and hide in the shirt, and then the dog would come and tear it apart.
You gave them hours of pleasure.
I did.
Being slovenly.
I did.
Throwing your clothes
well,
on the
I
floor.
Was. This is in my student days when...
I was talking to a woman yesterday that has a dog that I knew, and he's great. He's a dope, tall, dopey, real tall. And she was recounting her losses. Pot roast and the vegetables, not even cooked. This is not all in the
raw.
Same day.
Yeah. Pot roast.
A dozen eggs in the carton. He ate the eggs out of the
wow.
carton. That made him sick. I'm sure there was a loaf of bread in there. Some other things.
A jug of wine and thou.
But it was just, you know, but he's an opportunist and I knew his background somewhat and his start in life was kind of crummy. And then he was adopted by a very nice family that was.
Oh, that's normal Doberman behavior.
But it is. And you've got a really big dog who can rest his head on mm-hmm. the counter without getting up or standing
up,
on
yeah.
his tiptoes. But then again, it becomes a matter of, because I've really never had that problem. Robbie has filched a sandwich now and then because he likes ham for some reason. But, and Andy one time, and that was such a perfect training opportunity because she's quite tall. And I had some hot Italian sausage on the counter, but I push everything back anyway. Why Why tempt them? That's not fair. Push back, but apparently I hadn't pushed this far back enough, and it was ready to go on the grill, and she snagged it as I walked into the kitchen. She didn't like the hot, and she didn't like it when I yelled her name, and she dropped it and then thought, she's never done it again. And it wasn't me so much as that sausage tasted awful to her because it was spicy hot. And the fact that I walked into the room, I didn't even touch her.
Well,
I shouted her name.
A little training theory here, and that is when you're not around to train the dog, if the dog gets up on the counter and gets something, this is what we trainers call positive reinforcement. Mm-hmm. And it is a very profound positive reinforcement. You'd have to, I don't know, do 20 years of correction to get the dog over that very positive.
It's like hitting the jackpot.
Oh, man, yeah. It's if you got a pot roast that was up there for the rest of the dog's life, he's probably, I wonder if there's a pot roast up there again.
Yeah.
Man.
And you can't blame him. I mean, it paid off once.
Yeah, and it paid off big once.
Big. So, you know, I can cook at the counter, or I can prepare food at the counter, and they don't pay any attention to it. If I walk away, then I notice they're glancing at it.
Yeah.
But they, you know, you don't. I don't sweat the small stuff. I don't make the small stuff bigger than it should be, and then it's diminished all across.
You must always remember these are animals. They're not rocket psychiatrists.
And they're not mean or scheming or devious.
No, that's...
They don't want to eat your food, so you are going to bed without dinner. It's just they're
dogs,
opportunistic.
Yeah, dogs like to eat food. And if, like your friend that drank all the water. You can't convince them that you can feed them every day of their lives. You will never convince them that you're going to feed them tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll come home from work maybe a little bit later than usual or something, and they're like, oh, thank God she's home. I've worried all day, you know, and it's kind of amusing, but it's kind of heartbreaking in a way, too, because the food's right there. I keep my food in a storage container in the utility room, and I'm sure if they wanted to, they could figure out how to open it, but they never have. So they know that the food is there, but they know it takes a two-legged person to put the food in their bowls and then make it even better and give them their vitamin and blah, blah, blah. So I think that's why I think it's good to feed a dog sometimes in the morning, even if it's just a biscuit, instead of making them go 24 hours until the next meal, because then you have so much anxiety build up toward that meal and hungry. So that's not a good thing.
You were typing something. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Oh, I just had to ask a question of Jason Croft, our technical director.
Oh, okay.
The other thing I wanted to do is to ask our listeners if they'd like to call in. We're coming down on time, but we do have about a good 5-10 minutes left. So if you'd like to talk with Jim and Carol this morning, if you've got a question about dogs, you can give us a call or join us by email, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, toll-free 800-222-9455. The email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. And before we go too much longer, Carol, you were going to tell the listener who called in a little bit earlier again about the dates for the rally.
Okay, so this
and
is
obedience.
Pathetic, because I have to look at my calendar again.
That's okay. And in the meantime, I'll tell folks again that this program is coming up now. I think it should be very interesting next week on Nova on WILL-TV, Dogs Decoded. That's at 7 p.m. Tuesday, November 9th. That sounds really interesting.
Oh, I won't miss it. I don't have anything going on.
The thesis of the program is that if dogs and humans hadn't connected, we'd still be out there as hunter-gatherers, nomads.
Sounds good to me.
Just
with a car.
You know, we've had dogs for 15 to 20,000 years, and it's really only since World War II in the late 40s and since then that dogs have been studied scientifically. And it wasn't more than 100 years ago that kind of organized, thoughtful dog training started. You know, there was dog training lore, but systematic reward or punishment-based obedience training, as we call it now, didn't really start till about 1890. But scientific studies and I know people say, what about Pavlov in the 30s? He wasn't studying dogs. You know, he was studying something else, but he used dogs.
Should we get some listeners in now?
Look at them all. Where were you guys for the last 40 minutes?
Let's talk with a listener in Charleston on line one. Hi.
Hi. I rescued a dog from a shelter. I definitely know that he is part border collie. And I think he might have been abused when I first got him. He was awful. He would barely trust us. And he's made leaps and bounds, but he still really doesn't trust other people at all and hates other dogs. And I just don't know what to do to show him that no one's going to hurt him anymore. And I was just wondering if you had any suggestions.
When you say other dogs he hates, when he's out, he starts barking at them or what?
Oh, no. We've maybe heard him bark 5 times since we got him. He acts like a 2-year-old child when he's scared. He hides behind us.
Uh-huh. That's not altogether bad. It doesn't necessarily mean he's scared, but... And it's a fairly delicate problem. You don't want to reward the dog for being scared or doing scaredy behavior. On the other hand, you do want to assure him. So when you meet new people or dogs, he kind of runs behind. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. And he does at other dogs, and sometimes even humans, he does growl. But I don't think he would ever bite anyone. I just think he wants them to leave him alone.
Well, you know, I think that you should be really cautious because he has no real defenses. And a growl is the first, okay, don't mess with me. And if you got somebody that's insistent and that happens, that they're good with dogs and all dogs love them, then it's up to you to protect him from that type of situation.
And this is why we have different people. There are growls and there are growls.
Mm-hmm.
They're aggressive growls, but I suspect, and I'd have to hear it and see the circumstances, but I suspect that his growl is kind of a, hey, I'm worried growl, not a, look at that dog, I'm going to kill it growl.
Mm-hmm.
I would find treats that the dog really likes, and like typically liver, and when you – and go for a walk, probably the same places, at the same time every day. And when the dog shows any signs of anxiety, give him the treat. The theory here being that there are two different nervous systems, the autonomic and the other one.
Sympathetic.
Sympathetic. And they can't both be on at the same time. So if a dog is eating, they can't be nervous, you know, and upset. And vice versa, if they're really upset, they can't eat. So if you have a piece of liver or some food that's just so tempting they can't resist it, you can use that as kind of a tranquilizer to calm them down. It's not really – you're not rewarding them for being, you know, nervous. You're ending the nervousness and rewarding them for stopping the nervousness. Go ahead.
Okay. And let
– he does refuse food a lot, though, because I think he is nervous.
Yeah.
Right. But that's why you really have to – something that's just so overwhelming that he just can't resist
cooked
it.
Cooked chicken is good. But have some people that he doesn't know just wander by. Don't make any eye contact with them. Just toss a little piece of chicken. Well, you can't stop strangers and say, throw chicken at my dog. So you have to work out those details.
You have to get people you know.
Yeah.
That's right.
But let them just walk by him. Don't look. Don't touch. Don't anything. Just drop a piece of chicken and walk on by. So
I'd hand him the piece of chicken.
You could hand him the piece of chicken.
Otherwise, you're teaching him to pick up everything off the ground.
Well, yeah. The details are messy. The idea is good, though. What?
Would you suggest having friends, when they come over, give him food?
Yes, absolutely.
It'd be perfect.
Okay.
It would be a perfect thing to do.
Yeah, we tried that a couple times, and it did seem to work, but we usually just tell them to ignore him.
And that's okay, too.
Yeah, that's not...
Not all dogs really need to be fawned over from the time somebody walks in the door till the time they leave, unless, you know, that's the kind of people they are. But they're content to be left alone.
Okay.
But having friends or even, you know, in your house or out on the street, stop and give them food, is a real good way to get the dog over its nervousness.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for your suggestion.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling this morning. And I think we're going to have to wrap up now, and I'm sorry that we've got a couple of people we can't
get. And they have to wait till December.
Now.
Dates, our website, dtccu.net.
Dog Training Club
or
of Champaign.
.com. Why do I do this to myself?
.net.
Just put in your browser.
Dog Training Club. Yeah. All the dates that we mentioned earlier, everything's there.
All right. Very good. And we will talk next with Carol and Jim, on the 3rd of December.
Ooh, that's my brother's
birthday.
I can
start wearing Christmas garb.
That's right. Christmas garb. You'll be here with bells on, right?
Oh, yeah.
Jingle bells?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
she's kind of a elf.
Jolly.
So Carol and Jim will be back with us next month on the first Friday of December. They are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana.